We're indeed delighted to be here today. We're delighted the Lord saw fit in His providence to let us be here last night. Brethren, I believe y'all against everything, even sin. I hear that quite often. But I heard last night that if you was a friend of the world, you was an enemy of God. So I guess you're supposed to be against everything except the Lord. And for you that wants to learn how to talk Kentucky, we've had a right smart good preaching, haven't we, Brother Tweet? And Brother Hancock knows what I'm talking about. Seriously, we do indeed, really, thank the Lord for being here. Our heart's been blessed and thrilled to sit under the preaching of God's Word. There's one thing I'm absolutely certain of. The devil would never make you feel good over preaching like that last night. It has to be the Lord. We'll turn with us to Acts 20. While you're turning, we want to thank the Home Baptist Church and their gracious pastor for inviting us. And I'm not just saying that to say words. I sincerely mean that. I realize that it's a great deal involved in having a conference. I know it takes the efforts and the sacrifice of a lot of people, but you and I might enjoy the fruits of it, and we thank you for that. I really do. I look forward to being here each year and the other good conferences that we are privileged to be in, and we thank you for your sacrifice in order that we might enjoy these blessings. I want to just quote part of two verses from Ephesians 6, verses 13 and 14, and then we're going to read from Acts chapter 20. Talking about putting on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand the fiery darts of Satan. And then it says in verse 13 of Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, then in verse 14 it says stand. Amen. After you've done all, just keep on standing. You know, I'm afraid we're living in a day that when we've done all we think we can, then we think it's time to quit. But having done all to stand, then stand. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And this wasn't just talking about old people. It's talking about the pastors, the bishops, the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Our subject, as far as the modern day theological terminology is concerned, may not be super evangelistic. To some, it might not even be very theological, but it is very practical. for many years, because I've been in the ministry now for 27 years, for many years, I always thought it was my duty to sit at the feet of my elders and learn, and I still must do that. But whether I like it or not, those years have passed by to no longer is it my responsibility just to sit and be taught. But it becomes my responsibility to also teach. The Lord has blessed us in our church. In the present time, we have three preachers, two very young preachers, that have finally learned the truth that the place of education for preachers to sit in a local church at the feet of a man that God's called to pastor that church. This has made us take inventory of our ministry as a pastor and cause us to see our responsibility. In the second chapter of Acts, it tells us that the early church continued in the apostles' doctrine.
Amen.
In other words, they found out that the apostles were right, and when they did, they continued in it. And my subject today, our text is verse 24, and our subject is why I don't want to be moved. Now, if you want to just a plain layman's term, we'll just say why I don't want to compromise. I believe this is one of the number one sins of the Lord's people in churches today is compromise.
Amen.
Why should we? If you have the best, there's nothing better. And I believe we have the best. There's many that are moving today, either to the right or to the left. Preachers and churches. You can call it new evangelism, new orthodoxy, whatever you want to call it today. It's just plain compromise.
Amen.
We're doing things different. The old way is not good enough anymore. Terms doesn't mean the same thing anymore. Grace is no longer grace. And local church is no longer local church. My friends, I don't want to be moved.
Amen.
If I knew this was my last sermon, I'd still want to stay right where I am, doctor.
Amen.
I have no desire to move. One of the most credible traits, as far as I'm concerned, of God's men, God's preachers today, is that they still preach the same thing.
Amen.
Brother Hill has been mentioned, and I haven't known him as long as some of you, but the time I've known him, I dearly love the man, but I'll tell you why I love him. Because he still preaches the same thing. After undergoing various kinds of surgery, through extreme pain, realizing that he's facing no telling what as far as the physical pain and suffering is concerned in this life, not even knowing how long he's going to be here, in spite of that, he still believes and preaches the same thing. Folks, I want to tell you, any kind of religion's all right to live with, but not to die with. I'd like to talk with you about what I don't want to be removed from, and why I don't want to be moved, and then how to keep from being moved. First of all, I don't want to be moved from the truth. That involves a lot. I don't want to be moved from the truth of God's Word, His grace. I don't want to be removed from His glorious church truth.
Amen.
And I don't want to be removed from the glorious truth of godliness.
Amen.
We have a movement today that's antinomianism, anti-law. What it amounts to is be religious and do what you please. I want to stand upon the truth of God's Word, that not only are we commanded and taught to be godly, but godliness is great gain.
Amen.
Why I don't want to be moved? First of all, Paul said, none of these things move me. Notice now, if you will, in verse 24, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. I don't want to be moved because I want to finish my God-given course. I want to finish it. As Paul said, I do not want to become a castaway. After I've ran in the race and set my eyes upon the goal, I don't want to be disqualified and set aside. God called me and He gave me the ministry that I'm in. He gave me His message, the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And I do not want to depart from that. He gave me His methods. To Him be glory in the church.
Amen.
By Christ Jesus. In this God-given course, He gave me His motive. Unto Him be glory in the church. I want to finish that course. No doubt, taking this stand as Paul did, he said that trouble awaits us. We do not know all that does await us, but we do know, as verse 23 says, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. We do not know everything that awaits us, but one thing we are sure of, that bonds and afflictions do await us. There are troubles in the future, and we must face these things. Many today are not staying their God-given course. Some are separating from God's course to man's course. This should not really be surprising to us. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, that these things are going to happen. It says, the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the last days many will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Not only do we have spirits and demons, but we have doctrines of spirits and demons. And those separate and apart from the doctrine of the Word of God are doctrines of demons. But in spite of this, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, well, let's read verse 13. Notice with me in 2 Timothy 3 what Paul said. He said, of course, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But in spite of that, he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. In spite of what's happening, in spite of the fact that this is according to God's Word, evil men are worse. People are departing from the faith, are giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In spite of this, let us continue in that which we have learned and has been proven to be true.
Amen.
I don't want to be moved.
Amen.
I want to finish my God-given course. We shouldn't be surprised. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, he said, some will depart from the faith, having itching ears. But he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Just keep on. I want to stay my God-given course because there's no reason or room for change. God's course is very narrow. There's no place for options in the course that God has set us in. Jude 3 said, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And there hasn't been any second or third deliverance. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. The faith that the apostles walked in. And the faith that the first church continued in that the apostles walked in. Once delivered to the saints. Declare the whole counsel of God, as Paul said in Acts 20:27, that he shunned not to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. My friends, I don't want to be moved just that I might finish my course, but as Paul said, I want to finish it with joy.
Amen.
Folks, I want to tell you something today. In spite of all that's happening, I'm happy.
Amen.
I'm happy, folks. I'm thankful that God was pleased in His providence to enlighten me to the truth and place me in an environment where I could hear the truth and give me the ability to digest it and to feed upon it and to learn it. And as a result of that, I'm happy with it today. I don't have any problems with it. I can rejoice in it. I don't want to be disqualified. I want to be like Paul when he said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. That is Paul's. But here, this is for me. He says, and not for me only, but to all of those that love His appearing. That crown is not only for Paul, but for all of those that love the truth.
Amen.
I want to finish my course with joy. Not just finish it. I want to finish it with joy. I must stand at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says, for we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that we as preachers, now that 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is talking about preachers, and you'll never fully understand it until you see that. When he's talking about judging our works, wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones, he's not talking just about the works of the individual Christian, but he's talking about the material that God's pastors are building churches out of. Paul talking about himself and Apollos and Cephas, he said, we are laborers together. Preachers, God's preachers are laborers together. But then, pointing to the church at Corinth, he said, you're God's husbandry. You're God's building. You're the temple of God. Then he said, we're builders. There's only one foundation, but there are several builders, different pastors. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. But take heed how you build thereon.
Yeah.
We're going to have to stand before the Lord as pastors and give an account of how we built the Lord's churches. I want to tell you, those that's built out of wood, hay, and stubble will see their works burn. They may have put on a good performance. They may have a great following here, but one day they'll see those works perish, burn. They'll suffer loss, literally suffer loss. Those great institutions that they built out of wood, hay, and stubble. You know, you and I can take lumber from the woods and we can saw it and change it around and build a lot of things. Then you can set fire to it and destroy it. But you and I cannot produce gold. We cannot produce silver. They've tried it, but they've never been able to do it. Neither can we produce precious stones. But I'll tell you what we can do. God creates them. And you and I, as God's ministers, can take them and shine them up after God creates them. That's our responsibility. I'll tell you what, we can only build churches out of that which God has created. Take that which is dead, make it alive, a new creation in Christ Jesus, and then we take them as He adds them to the church and we shine them up. They become His rubies, shining the glory of God. I want to finish my course with joy. To do that, Paul says in 2 Timothy 2 and 5, if we're going to strive for masters, it must be lawfully.
Amen.
Got to be His way. I don't want to be moved because I want to finish my course and I want to finish it with joy. I don't want to be moved because verse 29 tells us that there are grievous wolves on the outside of God's flock. Listen to verse 29. Paul said, "For I know that this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." One of the greatest things the Lord ever did for me was to give me a flock.
Amen.
As He calls it, His little flock. There are grievous wolves on the outside that have entered in many flocks with the ulterior motive of stealing that flock, of taking it. And as Ezekiel tells us in Ezekiel chapter 34, of becoming masters rather than ministers. They fleece instead of feed the sheep.
Amen.
Instead of having a message, they have, about the best way I can put it, monkey business, I guess. They destroy instead of deliver God's sheep. But John 10, verses 11 and 12 says that the Lord has made us shepherds, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The sheep become our responsibility, and we are to feed the sheep. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says we're going to give an account of their soul. I love my flock.
Amen.
God gave me a heart for my flock.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, only the Lord can do that.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that Acts 20, 28, Ephesians 5 and 25, Jesus loved His church, gave Himself for it, purchased her with His own blood. And I love my flock too. If you're a pastor today and don't love your flock, you ought to give it up and let somebody else have it that will love them.
Amen.
You'll never pastor the Lord's sheep until you have a pastor's heart.
Amen.
I want to protect my sheep. Some are out to steal them, some are out to destroy them. There are thieves and howling prophets.
Amen.
Out to steal our sheep. As Brother Sinek said a few minutes ago, they're wooing, and what they're really doing is wooing them.
Amen.
Wolves in sheep's clothing. But you know, this is sad, but even that which is sadder is, as verse 30 says, not only do we have them on the outside that have come in, but even among ourselves shall some rise up. You know, when the Lord first called me into the ministry, I had been saved and even called to preach in a very liberal Baptist church. Very liberal. I knew nothing of the truth, and God was pleased to teach me the truth that I know today. And He taught me by some great men of God. And I mean that. They were great men of God. God used them tremendously, not only to teach me, but to teach others the truth. And yet in the years that I've preached, I have lived to see the day that some have risen up among us in God's flock to destroy and lead the sheep to follow them. One of the saddest days in my life. Not only that, but it's still happening today. They change and pervert God's way to draw disciples after them. And I want to say something, folks. I don't just have an issue with those people. I definitely do have an issue. I definitely do have an issue. God, give me the grace regardless of what's said about me. You know, Because if you preach against anything anymore, you're negative. And may God give us the grace to be positive about a few negatives. You're always after some personality. You know, it's strange to me, I'm never accused of having an issue about a doctrine, but it's always about a personality, yet I never call names. But I definitely do have an issue today. That issue is that I don't want to be moved.
Amen.
I don't want to be. May God give His grace. I don't want to rise up among God's people and lead a flock after me. Because separate and apart from God's grace, I neither have the ability nor the desire to do so. My job is to protect, to feed those that God has given me. In verse 28, Paul said, verse of Acts 20, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer." Listen. To feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. We're to protect our sheep, and I want to tell you the only way you can protect them is to tell them the truth.
Amen.
Feed them. Declare the whole counsel unto them. How do we keep from moving from the truth? How do we, after doing all that we can, how do we still stand? Paul gives us the pattern here in Acts chapter 20, verse 19. He says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews." How do we keep from moving? By serving the Lord, not by giving up.
Amen.
Well, I see a lot of preachers that's talking about just giving up, and believe you me, I've considered it. Serving the Lord. The Lord wants some servants today.
Amen.
Now, some of them may have PhDs, and I have no quarrel with those that do. I really don't. If God has blessed you, where you've got a DD, a PhD, whatever it is, praise God for it, and use it for the glory of God.
Amen.
I thank God we do have some people with degrees today that God has blessed with some knowledge that I don't have. Give them the ability and the enlightenment to present things that's the only way I can learn them. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
As long as they know they're servants.
Amen.
He's not looking for TV personalities.
Amen.
Entertainers. He's not looking for presidents. I'm not talking necessarily about the President of the United States. But I'm talking about presidents of whatever organization.
Amen.
He's looking for servants.
Amen. Amen.
You know, Paul said if anyone had reason to glory in the flesh, he more. Yet, in several places, one place in particular, I think about Romans 1 and 1, he said the servant of Jesus Christ, the bond slave of Christ. Looking for servants. Serving, Paul said, with humility. Proverbs 15:23 says, before honor is humility. We wonder today why many of God's people are not honored, do not have respect. The reason, because humility comes before honor. The cross before the crown. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before a mighty God. He'll resist the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You ever wonder why you didn't have grace? Giveth grace to the humble. Not only are we to serve Him humbly, but serve Him with tears.
Amen.
You know, I hear a lot of people talking about a passion for souls. But the Bible says we ought to have compassion rather than passion.
Amen.
One of our great problems today is passion. I'll tell you what, if you've got compassion, you don't have to worry about passion for the souls. If you've got compassion, you'll have all the zeal of passion you need for souls.
Amen.
With tears, cares for those that are lost. Cares for those that Christ died for. Are we any better than He? We looked out over Jerusalem and wept. The psalmist said, Psalms 126, He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtlessly return again, bringing him sheaves with him. What's wrong with weeping anymore? What's wrong with it? You know, Isaiah 55, verse 11 or 10 says that the rain and the snow falleth and wets the earth and the seed germinates. I wonder today if there were not a few more tears, if we might not see more germination. Tears, I'm talking about the old-fashioned compassion, concern. Somebody said the other day, I heard someone say, what's wrong with our day? What's wrong with this generation? They said, we're living in a me generation. Not a you, but a me generation.
Right.
It's all me, not you. No compassion. Serving the Lord with tears out of joy for His marvelous grace that we've heard about. You know, I've never come to the place, and I should, because I once was there, but I don't remember it anymore. Why anyone could get mad over grace, I don't understand that. I really don't. I get to preaching on grace, instead of getting dry, I get high.
Amen.
I really do, folks. I'll tell you, the grace of God puts me in a realm that nothing else can do. I don't need any kind of drug. I don't need any uppers.
Amen.
I get up just about as high as I can go. One fellow told me we were in a great service, the Lord was blessing. And he said, I can't hardly stand anymore. He said, I know why the Lord's going to give me a new body. This one couldn't take it.
Amen.
Tears of joy because of the grace of God. Folks, you don't know where I came from. You don't know where I was. But God knew even before I got there and took care of it back in eternity. Like the song we heard last night, God knew I was there. Even before I got there, He knew I was there. Matter of fact, He saw to it that I arrived there. He saw to it that I got here. All by the grace of God. I don't want to be moved, but I want to serve God. I want to be a servant. I want to serve Him humbly. With tears. Then not only that, but Paul said, with temptations or testings and trials. As I said, we don't know all that stands out there in front of us, but one thing we're sure of, there are testings and trials. Many temptations, but praise God, He said with every temptation, with every testing, with every trial, He's provided a way of escape.
Amen.
I'm not worried about what God's going to do. I'm just worried about what I'll do. Testings to make us strong. I believe among God's people we're living in a day of sifting and refining. Separating the chaff from the wheat. What is the chaff to the wheat? I want to tell you some of the kind of preaching we heard last night and this morning will separate the chaff from the wheat. It'll sift. It'll refine. Won't be long till you'll find out what the dross is. Or should I say who the dross is. How can we keep from moving from the truth? By serving God. Then, verse 20, it says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. How do we keep from moving? By serving and then by showing.
Amen.
Showing the Lord to the world. Now, we ought to, because Paul said it was profitable. It's profitable to those. You know, when we run into opposition in witnessing for the Lord, one thing that will keep you going is just remember that it's profitable, not only for you, but it's profitable for them. He said, showing them privately from house to house. Of course, He's talking about preachers here. And let me say something. He's not talking about house-to-house visitation. He's not. Now, I'm not opposed to that. Don't get me wrong. But I've seen many try to prove that a church was unscriptural, that didn't have necessarily have an organized visitation program, and visit every house in the community. That's fine if you want to do that. I'm not saying it's unscriptural, but you can't take the scripture and show me that it is scripturally. That it's a must. That it's necessary to be a true church to do that. And we ought to visit. Now, I'm just going to give you the whole thing in a nutshell. Every time I find anybody in the scripture that was being converted that somebody witnessed to, I find out that the Lord led them to them. Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit said, Philip, you got to go down and visit an Ethiopian eunuch.
Amen.
God said to Cornelius, you've got to send and get Peter to tell you words to be saved by.
Amen.
Folks, I believe that today. I'm going to get just a little closer than that. I not only believe God elected us unto salvation, but I believe he has someone to tell us the truth about it.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Somebody said the church has failed. Where? Where has she failed? Don't you believe God's going to save all of his elect?
Amen.
And I'll tell you something else. He'll save them his way.
Amen.
I don't deny that some church members have failed. I don't deny that some preachers have failed. But I do deny that his church has failed. Not only showing the Lord privately, but showing him publicly from the pulpits. He said publicly and from house to house. One of the greatest witnesses, one of the greatest means of salvation or of evangelism today is preaching from our pulpits.
Amen.
A fellow I knew recently moved to Nebraska to teach school, and he's been down there about a year. He said he couldn't even find a Baptist church that was close enough he could even drive to go. You know? And he didn't go to church for several Sundays. And finally, he found something. I've forgotten what it was. And he said, well, I thought I'm going to try it. And he said, I went in and said they didn't even have a sermon. Didn't even have a sermon. Publicly. From our pulpits. You know, it used to bother me a little bit because I'm country. Not because I'm country, but I have some country ways, and it's a little bit different from a lot of people. And it bothered me, and I felt a little bit inferior. But I want to tell you something, and this is no reflection on anybody else because you're from the city by no means. But I want to tell you something. For the last few years, I've been praying that God would send a few more old country preachers around, like old Brother V.A. Turner. Brother Jones was talking about last night. Some others that I know, I'll tell you, they may not have everything that some has got, but I'll tell you they got one thing. That is that they love the Lord and love the truth.
Amen.
And they'll tell it.
Amen.
From our pulpits.
Amen.
Then thirdly, how do we keep from moving? Verse 22. Listen, he says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. We need some surrendering.
Amen. Amen.
Bound by the Spirit. Instead of being moved by prestige, popularity, or persecution, he was bound by the Spirit. May God bind some of us today.
Amen.
By His Spirit. Complete surrender. Notice what he says here in the first part of this verse 24. He said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's surrender. Don't even count our life dear unto herself. I want to tell you something, and I don't know that any of you this way, but I want to tell you something. Your life's not important. Matter of fact, it's going to end pretty soon. The Lord doesn't come back, you'll move up like old Paul did. Your life's not important. What is important is that you give your reasonable service to the Lord that he might use your life. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto him, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then these things shall be added unto you. You know why a lot of Baptists today are having to do without some things they could have? Because they seek those first into the kingdom of God. God has promised not to keep any good thing from us. I don't want to be moved. I'm anticipating finishing this course with joy, and then I'm going to move. I'm going to move up. Paul said, we said a few minutes ago, he said, I'm now ready to depart. I'm anticipating that. The next move I make, I want it to be up. From this whole life. Away from all this sin. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. God's saving me from the power of sin. One of these days, he's going to save me from the very presence of sin.
Amen.
Won't have to put up with it anymore. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to be separate and apart from all the vile sin that we face today? Can you imagine what that's going to be like? I really can't, folks. I really can't, but I know it's true. One day I'll be there. And I sincerely hope that you will.
Amen.
But until we move up, let's not be moved here.
Amen.
Brother Sinek quoted a verse we'd like to conclude with. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:15, brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Having done all to stand, then stand. God bless you.
Amen.